Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work. It started to burn many things we found, but
many things we found. It's Harvey Weissman back for another hour in Solartopia here, the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We're going to talk about a bunch of things today, mostly election protection. We have John Brakey calling in from Arizona. John, are you with us?
I'm Rocky. I don't know if John's down the line still, but I'm here.
Oh, Rocky, you're with us too. That's great. Rocky, you are my first presidential candidate to be on the show. I'm glad to have you on. And
hopefully I won't.
Well, you'll be the first one to actually get elected. Let's put it that way.
Thank you.
So, Rocky, do me a favor, before I get to you, for just a second, I want to notify our listeners and also the crew in New York that I have a new piece up on the progressive.org website based on the old Progressive magazine called How Nuclear Power Causes Global Warming. And this has been an issue that's been really important to all of us. The nuclear power industry has been running around falsely claiming that atomic energy can help us fight global warming, when in fact the opposite is true. Nuclear power plants cause global warming. They emit carbon. They emit huge quantities of heat and radiation and major sources of pollution, in addition to which their cooling towers kill thousands of birds, and the hot water emissions from the reactors into rivers, lakes, and oceans kill billions of sea creatures. And so, as I say, the nuclear industry has been running around claiming that it fights global warming when, in fact, the opposite is true. And this is one of the first pieces to deal with that. So the article I've written, and I hope it'll get posted at Progressive Radio Network also, is called How Nuclear Power Causes Global Warming. It's at progressive.org, which is the site of the Progressive magazine. So, having put in that plug for my piece, Rocky, you and I met in California at a major event around election protection. You are running for President of the United States. Can you give us your full name and tell us about your candidacy and how we interface this with the work that's being done to protect our elections?
Well, the answer is yes, we met. I met a very nice friends of yours that became my new friends at that time. And we basically all been in to make sure that we do not have election fraud. And the more I learn about it, the more I experience it firsthand. It's all over the United States, and we need to take control of our democracy. Now, today, for example, in the state of Nevada, I'm going to be one of five candidates that people will be able to vote on the ballot. I have a pretty good chance to are counted and counted correctly. If you're going to commit election fraud, if they're going to commit election fraud, nobody's going to win. I mean, at least not the person that they get voted by the people.
Rocky, give us your full name and where you're based, and tell us about your campaign for the presidency before we proceed with this, because you are doing a truly remarkable and amazing thing, and I don't want to misstate, because I did hear you speak, but I know you're on the ballot in a number of states, and give us your full name and where you're running.
My name is Rocky, R-O-C-K-Y, and I have that name since the day I was born, before Rocky Balboa. My last name is De La Fuente, My other name is Roque. So my name is Rocky Roque de la Fuente. I was born in San Diego. California. I'm a business person. I do business in the United States and three other countries. I do business in California in over 45 different cities, and I do business in 8 states across the United States. I employ thousands of people directly and indirectly over the last 20 years, and I'm basically the nice version of Donald Trump.
The what version?
The version, the polite, the one that does not insult people.
But you stand, hopefully, for different things than he stands for, though I've yet to figure out what he stands for. But what is the crux of your campaign? What are your issues?
The issues was quite simple. I wanted to give American people a choice, a choice better than Donald Trump and a choice better than Hillary Clinton. And I'm a couple of, or 24 states, and that I've been allowed to be able to have my name placed on the ballot. This whole issue is the election fraud starts when you're allowed to participate in the election, when you have your name placed on the ballot, what requirements an independent or a minor parties have to do to be on the ballot. So election fraud, it's a lot of different things that happen, including once you make and qualify for those issues, be able to place your name on the ballot. So, yes, election fraud can happen 10 different ways. And assuming you manage to cross 20 of those hurdles, the last biggest hurdle is they take the votes that you earn from the hard-earned Americans, and they strip those people from those votes from their will, and of course they strip the candidate of those votes too.
Now, you're on the ballot in 24 states?
Yes, I am.
And what is the name of your party?
I have qualified under 3 different categories. You remember Ross Perot Party, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Reform Party happens to control a very important state, Florida. The Reform Party voted to make me their candidate in Florida.
So you're on the ticket in Florida on the old Reform Party from Ross Perot?
Well, I don't think it's old. It's still alive and well.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, he ran in 1992.
That's correct.
So that party is still around?
The party's still alive and today qualifies in 3 states, actually 4 states. Well, they have a problem with one. They qualify in 3 states, Louisiana, New York, and Florida.
So are you on the ballot in New York on the Reform Party ticket?
No, because that's a little more complicated. But the answer is the Reform Party is alive and well, and they have people all over the United States. They have beautiful people in Texas, and they have beautiful people in California. And the Reform Party is alive and well. And hopefully I can pick up where Ross Perot left, and I can use the Reform Party to make sure that good candidates that happen to serve the people today and for the foreseeable elections.
Well, that's astounding, actually. We're joined on the radio, by the way, Rocky, by Bob Fitrakis, my co-conspirator here on 6 or 7 books. I can never remember how many on election theft. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Bob. So Bob and I are here in Central Ohio. Rocky, are you in Arizona, Rocky?
No, I'm not. I actually have a lawsuit pending in Arizona. But you answered me the question. Let me give you depending to be able to qualify in other states, you have to be able to qualify. And sometimes it's easier doing it under a party name. So I created a new party name, the American Delta Party. The American Delta Party happens to have made it in New Mexico. They made it in Colorado. They made it in Iowa. They make it in Utah. They made it in Montana. So sometimes states are a lot easier for parties to be able to qualify versus independents. So I will appear on the ballot for this election a minimum of 24 states, one or two of them under the Reform Party, 8 or 9 under the American Delta Party, and the balance me as an independent. Sometimes they have crazy rules that an independent is required to get more or less petitions to get on the ballot. So when we happen to be, for example, in New Jersey, I'm appearing there as an individual, since an individual happens to need less petitions to be on the ballot. In the case of Tennessee, the individual requires 10 times more than a party. So in Tennessee, I appear on the name of the party. Or excuse me, I think it was the other way around. In Tennessee, I'm appearing in the name of individually and not the name of the party.
That's amazing. Now, are you campaigning in these states?
The answer is yes. I'm right now in New York City and speaking to you. Tomorrow I'll be in Virginia. I'm going to be campaigning in Virginia, but more importantly, as I have a court appearance in federal court to make sure they do not violate federal law in the Constitution, and they will put me on the ballot in Virginia. So tomorrow at 10 o'clock Virginia time, I'm going to be in federal court fighting for my rights and the American people's rights in the Constitution. We want to make sure that we, the people, is the establishment understands that we, the people, is who's running this country and not them.
Ralph Patrakis, you want to comment on this? You have been a Green Party candidate for many offices. You're running for county prosecutor in Central Ohio. This is an astounding thing that Rocky is out there on 24 ballots. Do you have precedent for this? You want to go join him in court in Virginia and help him get on the ballot there?
Yeah, the question, I think Jill only made it on about 45. Three, she's in on a write-in, and I think South Dakota she didn't make it on. But what's astounding is that all of them have their own law. There's no national law if you want to run for president. It's like Jim Crow, in some states are more cooperative and foster democracy, and other states make it incredibly difficult. Recall Gary Johnson in Ohio couldn't get on under his own name. So he's listed not as a libertarian in Ohio, but as a independent.
Rocky, are you on the ballot in Ohio?
Actually, I'm happy you mentioned Ohio. In Ohio, they have something called the sore loser laws. So in Ohio, I submitted all the petitions as a vice president, and my vice president in other states, he's the president. So technically, I should be in Ohio, but the Secretary of State in Ohio decided to use a different rule to try to disqualify me in Ohio, and I have a lawsuit in Ohio to try to qualify to be in Ohio as we're speaking.
Well, you and Bob Patrakis should be talking together. Bob, what do you know about this?
Oh, and he's right about the sore loser law, John Houston, is that in the old days, you used to be able to run for a major party. And then if you didn't get the nomination, you could split from that party and create a third party, as Theodore Roosevelt did, as George Wallace did on the right. But they've created all these sore loser laws where they won't let you run, which to me is fundamentally undemocratic. So I hope he prevails over Secretary of State John Houston and gets on the ballot in Ohio.
Well, Rocky, you should be in touch with Bob Patrakis. He's our chief attorney here on these matters in Central Ohio. John Houston, H-U-S-T-E-D, is the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio, who has taken over the role of J. Kenneth Blackwell, the former Republican Secretary of State who rigged the election in 2004 to give a second term for George W. Bush. And Houston is now in the process of rigging the election here in Ohio, although we know that he wants to guarantee the victory of Rob Portman, who's running for Senate, but we're not exactly sure who they're going to put in the White House here between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But
as you can already know, there's a lot of election fraud. They're able to manipulate the outcome of the machine to count the votes. they're able to, in, for example, Travis County, Texas, they stole 98.6% of my boats. We're not talking about stealing 1,000 or 100 or 1%. We're talking about 98% of my boats. I mean, that's outrage that they can do it with impunity. And we're not talking about a rounding error. You know what it is that I was able to get in Travis County, which happens to be Austin, Texas. I was able to get close to 70,000 votes, and I ended up with 144.
Well, Bob, you're a statistician. Is that a significant, statistically significant difference?
What were those numbers again, Harvey?
77,000 down to 144. Is that right? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
There seems to be a disconnect there between the polling and the actual number. But, the fact, if you allow private for-profit partisan companies to secretly create the software and voting machines, you're going to get some of these strange results. And everyone's worried about the Russians. They should be worried about these companies that are loyal to Hillary Clinton and major politician.
I would agree
with
you 100%.
Do you have a campaign organization in the field? How are you getting all these signatures to get on the ballot?
Well, the answer is it starts, for example, I was able to qualify. I don't know if you know, but, for example, I was I'm a Democrat, and I was a delegate at large in New York in 1992. And was elected unanimous by the California delegation, by the California Democrats. At the same token, I was basically in the ballots against Hillary and against Sanders, and I came third in over 34 states across the nation. I qualified in 40 states and in 6 territories. And I'm very, very proud that I made it all the way to the convention where they they elected Hillary and they took it away from Bernie. Bernie won California. Bernie won the election. They stole it from Kentucky in California, and they stole it from me all the way from Iowa and New Hampshire all the way to California.
Well, Bob Petrakis and I are co-authors of a book called The Strip and Flip Selection of 2016, and we're just adding into the online version the latest chapter in which we talk about the theft of the Democratic nomination by Hillary Clinton, from Bernie Sanders. Bob, this is one of those conspiracy theories. What do you think? Is Rocky, the presidential candidate, correct to say that the nomination was stolen from Bernie Sanders?
I think all the data indicates that. And the DNC leaks suggest it was done, in an actual conspiracy within the DNC to strip, as we've outlined in our book, to strip Sanders voters from the voting rolls. And also there's a huge discrepancy in many states. As you know, 12 of the 26 states that held primary between how people said they vote and how they actually voted. But, California can't be called an election. It was a coup d'etat. They moved the Sanders voters into other parties, the American Independence Party. They registered them as no party preference, NPP, when they wanted to vote for Sanders. So I believe Rocky is absolutely right that Bernie Sanders won the nomination and Clinton loyalists stole it from him.
And now we're looking at a situation, Bob, you mentioned this, and Rocky, I'm sure you'd be interested, that, the Clintonistas disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of voters to get herself the nomination. Bob, does this have any impact on the election in the fall?
Well, what's interesting is now the Clinton forces are re-registering voters, and there'll be a huge battle in Ohio between John Husted, who's working with Secretary of State of Kansas Kobach, who has the cross-check program that Greg Palast has been alerting us to, that's aimed at minority voters, Hispanics, Blacks, Asians, and the Clinton forces, aided in part by money from George Soros, that are busy trying to re-register all these people that have been purged in Ohio, whether it was associated with the Clinton campaign or really the Republican Secretary of State. So we're in a war right now up to October 8th to see who can register, who can disenfranchise voters, a la Houston at the Secretary of State's office, versus who can register voters.
Well, I have my own theory of what happened in Ohio. I was in Ohio. There were only three of us on the ballot. It was basically Hillary, Sanders, and me. I qualified in Ohio, and O'Malley did not. And the reason they got rid of all those minorities is because they did not want me to get a momentum. So when the Ohio primary happened, the main objective was Rocky cannot get any momentum. Now that Rocky's off the ballot in Ohio, let's get those people back in so they can vote for Hillary. So they basically play, depending on what is the game and what they're having at that time, they don't care what happens. And they just want to win each game as the game is played.
Bob, what do you say?
Oh, and it's plausible. It seems like, you know, that the Hillary forces are doing it both ways. I think the fact that they had very specific data through the minivan app that was on people's mobile phones and units, they were able to target very specifically Sanders voters in Ohio, and particularly in the college towns like Bowling Green and Athens. And now they expect those voters are going to come back to them because they have to re-register. So, you know, I'm in agreement with his analysis.
Well, John Houston, the Secretary of State of Ohio, who's very close friends with John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, is John Houston going to let these Democratic voters back on to the voter rolls after Hillary Clinton kicked them off?
Well, by law they have to. By law they have to, because it's the individual voters' rights to be able to vote. So just because they were taking off the rolls, those individual voters have the right to get themselves back in. And just because they were taken momentarily, they have the right to vote just like you and I. So they have to do it. I did not know this was happening that widespread, but I do know that what happened in Ohio was outrageous. And by the way, Ohio, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Texas, California, Kentucky, I mean, this is not just one state. It was a concentrated effort to be able to come out with their outcome. The Debbie Wasserman Schultz, which luckily I was the one.
Rocky. Yes. On this show, it's only Debbie Schultz. We dropped the Wasserman from the name. Okay.
Well, I would like to drop her altogether.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Debbie Schultz. Please, go ahead.
Okay, Debbie Schultz, I basically came out in December saying she was committing fraud in New Hampshire and in Iowa. And on February, I basically did a nine-minute video that you can see in YouTube and in my page, rocky2016.com. I basically told her that she was a liar, she was a cheater, and she was a fraud, and she belongs behind bars. And I basically said to her that she is completely immoral, unethical, and illegal. Now, luckily for me, it took until Kentucky when Bernie decided to say the same thing, and then it was corroborated by the WikiLeaks, okay? And at that particular moment, then she had to do which was nobody ever expected, for her to resign one day before the convention. That's got to tell you how dirty that woman is.
Bob, what do you think? You and Debbie Schultz used to go out together, right?
And clearly she was working on behalf of the Clinton campaign, you know, while she was trying to pretend like she was neutral. But, it shows the massive corruption at the core of the Clinton machine. And the fact that it's so obvious to everyone, particularly after these WikiLeaks email leaks, we all know that the entire election, the primary, was essentially rigged for Clinton, and she couldn't have done that without Debbie Schultz.
All right, so here we are now. Here we are. It's September. The election is in 2 months, less than 2 months, and we're talking about a campaign here where you have an outright fascist running for president of the United States, ahead in many polls, and in order to defeat him, the public has to vote for a candidate who completely rigged the Democratic Party primary process. What is this? What kind of country are you living in?
Are you asking me or are you asking my
I'll
colleague?
Ask you, Rocky. Tell me. How can we deal with it?
It's the reason I decided to run is I cannot believe 320 million people in these United States. We had to get stuck with those two major parties. Those are the two most hated people on earth. Okay, it's if Trump gets elected, he's going to put all the minorities back 20 to 50 years, and if Hillary gets elected, she's going to be arguing how come she took so much money for her foundation, and when it's going to basically she won't be able to govern. Not that she's capable of governing. She won't be able to get anything absolutely done. So we're basically headed for what I called take your pick between dumb and dumber.
Yeah, it's really astounding. Bob, you want to comment on that as a Green?
Well, you know, the question is they try to force everyone, you know, they're trying to scare everyone with Trump. I'm just, you know, not that scared. I mean, he's a buffoon. He seems to be nationalistic and fascistic, but Hillary Clinton has such a awful track record of doing things like overthrowing governments in Libya and undermining Syria, and as a neocon war hawk and a free trader, I'm just not going to vote for anyone that I don't share any values with. They're not going to frighten me into Trump.
Well, Rocky, as a legitimate candidate for president, and you're on 24 ballots, 24 states, what is your plan now for the rest of the campaign? What are you going to be doing?
My campaign is to ask for a miracle like the one that happened in 1824. Right now, if you're looking objectively, I believe that there's a possibility that Hillary will get 266 electoral votes. I believe Trump will get a little bit lower than that. I believe that Gary Johnson has the potential of winning New Mexico. I have the potential of winning Nevada, Iowa, New Hampshire, and Alaska. And if that happens, then the decision, we will not get neither of those two. The decision becomes Congress. And then Congress will then have to basically divide and conquer,
okay,
and be able to pick basically between John and myself. Now, maybe we might have a surprise from Jill Stein. She could also win a state. I believe if the three minor party candidates, including myself, win one state each, that's one state that we take away from those two major candidates and put the decision on Congress.
Well, now, the way it works, the way the Constitution reads, and this has never happened in New York City, although we've come close, is that...
I thought it happened in 1824.
Well, actually, yes, you're right. There was a four-way setup, and John Quincy Adams lost the election, the popular vote, to Andrew Jackson by 3-2. Jackson had 150,000 votes. And John Quincy Adams, who was the Secretary of State under James Monroe and the son of John Adams, the second president, had 100,000 votes. And so it went into the House of Representatives because
there were four candidates. Henry Clay was a candidate, and then there was another one whose name I can't remember. And because nobody had a majority in the Electoral College, the House of Representatives chooses the president, but they don't have a general vote. The House of Representatives divides itself then, in this situation, by state delegation. And each state has a vote. And so the congressional delegations in the Congress would then vote each one as a state, and that's how they'd elect a president. Now, if it went to the House of Representatives, in 2016, you would have to think that the Republicans have a huge majority in terms of numbers of states. I think it's, of course, there are 50 states. I think it's, like 30 to 20 or even more. A lot of the small states in the Midwest and the South, their congressional delegations are dominated by Republicans. The Democrats are a minority outright in the House of Representatives, but by state they're even a bigger minority because most of the Democrats come from California, New York, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, the states that are traditionally Democratic. But each one, California and New York will have the same number of votes choosing the president as Wyoming and Alaska. So, Rocky, if you and Gary Johnson succeed in throwing the election to the House of Representatives, what's going to happen?
Well, if you follow your mathematics, technically it would be up to each state individually to pick a candidate. So then it becomes an issue if you happen to be looking at Wyoming or Minnesota, or for that matter, Alaska. Will the people in Alaska says we do not want Hillary or Trump, we will not one of the other candidates. I would assume there would be a lot of lobbying to be able to win each individual state.
That's an amazing scenario. We're joined, by the way, by John Simon from California, author of the truly great book on election fraud, Code Red. John, you're on with Bob Fitrakis and from Central Ohio, my co-author on the strip and flip selection of 2016, and Rocky, who is on 24 ballots in the...
I'm in 24 ballots outright, and I will be probably in another 20 more ballots as a write-in.
Oh, all right. Now, do you have to have special... are there special steps you need to take to get on the ballot as a write-in?
Oh, no question about it. In California, you have to get the 55 electors. You have to get it notarized. They have to swear under oath that they're not lying and they're not going to go to jail. And then you have to go submit so much paperwork, it's not even funny. And the same requirements, North Carolina even requires, in addition to that amount of paperwork, it requires you to get 500 or 1,000 petitions just to be able to qualify to be a write-in. There are some states, they do not allow you to be a write-in.
That's amazing. John Simon, before you came on at the half hour, Bob Fitrakis and Rocky and I we're discussing the Democratic primaries. And it's our belief that the rightful winner was Bernie Sanders. Now, Bob and I have written a number of articles about this, and we've been vehemently attacked, not by the right wing, which couldn't care less, but by Josh Hyland at The Nation and elsewhere. And, of course, now Hillary's in the position of trying to re-register the people that they threw off the voter rolls in order to get her allow her to beat Bernie. You're in California. What do you think about what happened with the California primary?
Well, first of all, I think strip and flip is probably the best moniker that has come down the pike. And, I coined a few myself, like reluctant Bush responder and red shift. And strip and flip absolutely, totally, perfectly characterizes what is actually happening out there in our elections, bringing the voter suppression to a fine art and keeping voters from casting ballots and bringing elections close enough so that you can then flip them electronically while passing the smell test. So I think that's the primaries were a classic example in 2016 of strip and flip pushed basically to the max. I couldn't agree more that Bernie Sanders, I mean, there were several things about his candidacy. One was that it had the potential to revolutionize politics in the sense that he raised pretty much all of his money without drinking at the corporate trowel. This was truly revolutionary. The enthusiasm level was incredibly high. And then, of course, in the forensics, looked at through many different lenses, we saw all sorts of red flags, the cumulative effect of which were well enough, way more than enough, to alter the ultimate outcome. So, you know, primaries are of critical importance. They narrow the field. They give you a choice between turd A and turd B, which is what we're wrestling with here, and then minor party candidates who are given the short shrift by the media and whose lives are made, you know, political lives are made hell, virtually impossible. California, I mean, there was so much that, you know, went down in California. There was so much misadministration of the election. We don't know about necessarily the electronic manipulation part. We were denied exit polls. They were conveniently canceled. So, you know, all the stops were pulled. And what it shows you is that, you know, no matter how smelly an election is, in America, as opposed to, let's say, the Ukraine or Kenya or Peru, you know, if things move on. The media and the political establishment make sure that things move on and that there really is no going back and there is no revisiting whether it's been legitimate or not. It's just presumed to be legitimate because this is America. It's the, you know, beacon of democracy. And, you know, this is something that's got to change. I've been advocating a much more aggressive action steps, you know, in Code Red. It's one of the big changes in the 2016 edition is that, you know, I am talking about opscan parties. I'm talking about civil disobedience. I'm talking about reclaiming the right of observable counting and the right to ownership of our ballots away from the corporations. And, you know, that should have happened 15 years ago, and it's pretty late in the game right now. But now, all of a sudden, you know, concerns are being raised courtesy of whether it's Donald Trump or, you know, the NSA or whatever, about the security of our election system. So at least people are paying a modicum of attention, although they're probably spitting at the wrong spot and paying attention to the wrong danger. But at least there's some receptivity to the idea that when you count votes unobservably, you cannot trust the outcome.
Well, yeah. Bob, I
would agree with almost 99% of you what you said. With the exception, I was nice and polite and said I'm dumb and dumber, and you said turd A and turd B. I'm not that unpolite.
Well, this is a family show, but I think we can get away with that four-letter word. So,
not prescribed. I think it's in the dictionary.
Yeah. So, Bob Petrakis and I have advocated the Ohio plan, which is universal automatic voter registration. No requirement of photo ID that when you vote, a signature is sufficient, secure, voting rolls. Polls are worked by our high school and college students with elders at $15 an hour, a four-day national holiday for voting, and then most important of all, universal hand-counted paper ballots, which we do not have. And I'm starting to see now media hype putting an absurdly large percentage of the country voting on paper ballots, but those, of course, are Scantron, and they're computer counted, and they're completely corruptible. So let's talk, Bob, if you'll start, and then Rocky, and then John, what is going to happen in this election? I mean, we have total chaos here. We have a completely unreliable vote count. Bob, what's your prognosis here?
Well, the No Voting Rights Act, so there'll be attempts at the mass purges in the states dealing with cross-check. So you'll have all sorts of lawsuits you'll have essentially people, the bizarre part is people are worrying about the Russians having access to a couple of databases, and American partisan private for-profit company have the keys to the kingdom, right? They can walk right in and program everything from the databases, the e-poll books, the election night counting, the central tabulators, and the final results without anyone questioning who CITL is or SOE or ESNS. They literally, with their secret proprietary software, can ultimately do whatever they can get away with, and no one is questioning that.
It's mind-boggling. So the question everybody's going to ask is, nobody doubts now, and I got to say that those of us, the small handful, John Simon and you and me and Greg Palast and Bev Harris and Mimi Kennedy and a few others, have been campaigning on this from 2000 and 2004. We finally have the major media conceding that the election can easily be hacked. So the question is, who is the election going to be hacked for? Is it going to be hacked for Hillary, or is it going to be hacked for Trump?
Well, I believe it's. I think they're going to make a decision on a state-by-state basis. They're not going to pay attention in California or New York, since those two are going to be Democratic. So they're going to concentrate on the states that's a 50-50, and that's where they're going to make the difference. In other words, the states that are 100% Republican, that are red, they're going to stay red. The states that are 100% blue, they'll stay blue. And all the cheating will be done in the states that are the 50-50 states or the undecided. And I believe that whoever was going to win this election is the person that cheats the most.
In this way,
yeah, and, you know, and Harvey, you know, the big damage has already been several points. So the big damage has already been done in narrowing the field. And the other thing is that, you know, again, we're trapped into looking at the presidential election, and the real big damage has been done on the down ballot elections and the off year elections and down ballot elections, the House of Representatives, all those. You know, state legislatures. I mean, David Daley was on today, the author of Rat, you know, and the book about how the Republicans seized power. You know, in his view of how they seized power at all these infrastructural levels and basically controlled the country, in spite of being, you know, clearly a minority in terms of the voting public, you know, has to do with gerrymandering, and it has to do with the fact that they took all these elections in 2010 and they had this great plan for doing it. And all that's true. The only problem is he's not mentioning the fact that they were probably getting the benefit of a computerized rigging to make all this happen. You know, the plan looks a lot less brilliant when you factor in that there was outright cheating going on. And, you know, we're looking at the presidential election here, and yes, it always makes a big splash, but frankly, you know, whether it's rigged for Clinton by Rove or rigged for Trump by, you know, what's his name? I can't remember all the cast of characters here, Roger Stone or, you know, whoever comes in and does it. The problem is we don't know, and it's unobservable, and it's led to the general political situation we're in now, where not just the left, but a good part of the right, you know, feels disenfranchised, disempowered, angry, distrustful. So in a sense, it really doesn't matter, you know, who it's rigged for, because it extends beyond the presidency, and it's a very chronic problem now. We're not living in anything that could even, you know, be remotely described as a democracy. The public has lost its sovereignty, and that's the fundamental problem, and that's why it has to be addressed, you know, not in a partisan way necessarily, but in a very aggressive way. The public has to stand up and reclaim that right.
Bob Petrakis, what do you think?
Yeah. Harvey?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob, through the record, it looks like Roger Stone thinks it's going to be rigged for Hillary. As you know, he endorsed our book and called it a must-read on the Hill, and has been warning that there'll be riots in the bloodbath if somebody hacks the election for Hillary. So I think the betting money, particularly after the primary, I think Hillary is the choice of, you know, free trade, neoliberal corporate capitalism, and the current U.S. foreign policy. I think she's most likely the benefit unless Trump can figure out how to do it.
Well, I, you and I have discussed this. If it's a close election, and Rocky, if unfortunately you and Gary Johnson fail to take enough states to throw it into the House of Representatives, and if it comes down to Ohio, the reality is that John Kasich can single-handedly decide, no matter what the vote count in Ohio, whether it'll be Hillary or Trump. Because he and John Houston and whoever they have doing the IT on the electronic vote count in Ohio can sit down at midnight on election night, and it probably be pretty close in Ohio, within 200,000, maybe even 100,000 votes. Bush allegedly won Ohio in 2004 by 118,775. So it will be within reach of credibility for John Kasich, John Houston, and the IT guy to decide who is going to have the electoral votes of Ohio. Now, you can speculate, if it comes down to that, that Kasich would probably favor Hillary, because if Trump loses, John Kasich will be either in control of the Republican Party or very close to it. I mean, he's the one guy that emerged from the Republican primaries with the illusion of insanity. We here in Ohio know better of sanity. We here in Ohio know better. But the general public seems to now think that John Kasich is sane as opposed to the rest of the Republican Party. And so if Hillary wins, then Trump is removed, and Kasich can take over what's left of the Republican Party with some big money behind him, probably even the Bush family. On the other hand, they do have Ted Strickland, the Democrat, running a really lame Senate campaign, and their friend Rob Portman, who they definitely want to win. So for Kasich to swing the state of Ohio to deliver it to Hillary, he's got to have Portman win the Senate race and then Hillary win the state. That's a bit of a stretch. It's not completely out of the realm, but they could do it. Now, there are three other states, Rocky, you certainly know this, that have a Republican governor, a Republican secretary of state, and that will be Iowa, Michigan, and Arizona. And in those states, if they're close, the governor and the secretary of state can do exactly what they can do in Ohio, which is at midnight on election night, just decide who they want to give the states to.
Let me ask you a question. If you take a look at this whole election fraud, it's not transparent. I do not know if we need to go back to the paper ballots, and we need to basically be able to say, folks, have the Supreme Court intervene and says, folks, we cannot have a democracy with all this much fraud, and maybe postpone the election 30 days and basically have an opportunity for everybody to be in the debate and have an opportunity to redo a remake, because I'm not happy with the two outcomes that you guys have placed. I can't stand Trump, and I can't stand Hillary. And I believe 50% of America or more feels the same way.
So
are we stuck for 4 years putting up with whatever happens based on whoever rigged it? Folks, how can we claim democracy in the world over, and how can we overthrow governments in the world over when we claim that they did not have a clean election, when here, that's supposed to be the country that talks about democracy, it is worse than most of the countries.
Yes, Rocky, we're the beacon of democracy, don't you know? I mean, you know, we have lived and breathed this every single freaking day for the last, 15 or 16 years. I mean, these insanities, this Alice in Wonderland, you know, illogic of things and the hypocrisies. And it is truly, I mean, you know, to even come out of this, Harvey, Bob, Rocky, you know, not suicidal, not terminally depressed, still... alive and kicking and trying to make a difference. You know, I mean, this is one of those things that, and there's been oppression. There's been, the world has not been a kind and gentle place throughout most of its history. And there have been worse oppressions in terms of the physical torture and the disruptions and the poverty that people have been subjected to. But there have been few that rank with this psychologically, because the image is being maintained of a not just a democracy, but the best democracy, and the media just reinforces all of this, and everything, you know, it's Decision 2016, and it's all slick, and you got blinking pie charts, and all these pundits, and all this is so wonderful, and according to Hoyle, and the bottom line is underneath it is absolute rot and lies and fraud. And we live with this. And no, they're not going to postpone the election. And no, they're not going to do anything sensible like have a hand count or anything, unless and until the pressure becomes so great that they can't just go on their merry way. I mean, that's why I'm advocating op-scan parties. That's why I think we need to go down and surround the op-scans. And I can't even get buy-in on this from progressive groups, from really serious groups like Election Justice. I mean, they don't want to besmirch their reputation. And I understand the point, you know, with civil disobedience. But from my standpoint and all my observation and all my experience, there's no other way. I mean, it's time to, you know, to step up and say, look, you know, you are ruling us not of the people, by the people, for the people. I mean, you're basically ruling us. You're corporate fascists. You've taken control. You've taken control of the media. You've taken control of the election system. Politics is breaking down. People are becoming angrier, more frustrated. What happens then is you either get France of 1789, where they stormed the Bastille, or you get the Soviet Union of the 1950s, where everybody just climbs into a hole because it's hopeless and there's just all this resignation. Either way, it's not what we signed on for, and it's not a democratic republic. So we need to go surround the op-scans, say, we're here to count the ballots, open up the op-scan, or take us away. And, you know, I'm not a radical by nature. It didn't reach that point quickly, you know, come to a quick boil. It's been a long, slow process, but it is time. Otherwise, this is what we're going to get. And whoever wins, quote unquote, you know, the horse race, it really doesn't matter.
Bob Fitchakis?
Well, I'm sympathetic to Jonathan in the sense that if things appear to be going wrong, I think that people should invoke the necessity defense and go down and take their own yellow tape and tape these polling places off as crime scenes. Right? If people are walking in as technicians and not saying who they are and the votes are flipping and you're catching screenshots, I think people need to take direct action and help the police take the place off and sit down so no one can come in and remove these criminal instruments from being forensically examined.
Okay, we're running out of time here. Bob Fitchakis, where do people get a hold of you and of our book?
Freepress.org. And I think Harvey's hanging out with David Swanson. He'll have some books. But freepress.org. Come to our website. Order the book.
There is a great conference this weekend, World Without War, in Washington, D.C. I will be speaking there. We will have books. The great David Swanson, the peace activist, is putting on this conference. So if you're in the D.C. area, come on down. Look for it online at freepress.org. And our book, Me and Bob, is the Strip and Flip selection of 2016. Rocky, tell us again your full name. How do people get in touch with you? How do they support your campaign?
Even though I love this program, I don't want to promote violence, and I don't want to have one person get hurt because we're trying to fight for our democracy. But the way to reach me is through my webpage, rocky2016.com. You write to me, you email me, I will personally get back to you. We need to find a solution that's logical. We need to make sure that small elections for city council, for mayor, or for governor or senate are validated, and we need to basically make an example at places like San Diego, California, which I was born, where the guy there, the election guy, he's a complete weirdo, which came from Ohio. I do not know why Ohio sent him to us, but he was corrupt in Ohio, and he got promoted to go to San Diego. And we have another guy that's more weird than him, and that's the guy in Travis County, and I will not say the same thing from New Hampshire. So maybe the way we can tackle this is by basically having referendums in New Hampshire, in Travis County, in San Diego, and start from the bottom up. Because right now, from the top down, I see this as worse than Rocky against Goliath.
Well, Rocky won, and maybe you will too. We really appreciate your candidacy. I'm really, really impressed how you've been able to get on so many ballots. You should be in touch with Bob here in terms of the legal situation in Ohio. And, Rocky, thanks for coming on the show. It's really been great to have you. It's fascinating. And I will be out in California in mid-October. Maybe we can do another event out there. It will be really great.
Who's going to be? I'm going to be in Washington. I'm going to be in Washington tomorrow afternoon. Who's going to be in Washington, D.C.?
I will be there. So let's be in touch. I'm going to be speaking at the conference that David Swanson is putting on, World Without War. And so once we're off the air here, let's be in touch. I'm flying into D.C. tomorrow morning. So let's talk to each other.
Okay,
John
you.
Simon, you get the last word here. We're about to go out.
Okay. I should say, you know, I'm not advocating violent disobedience. This is nonviolent civil disobedience. It's the right of assembly. It's an age-old right. My book is Code Red, Computerized Election Theft and the New American Century. It has quite a few cites to your work and Bob's work. It's available at Amazon starting tomorrow. You could just search Code Red Simon, S-I-M-O-N, under books, and it should come up as of tomorrow. And, you know, I think it's helpful to become informed about the background to all this and what we may be able to do about the situation that we find ourselves in.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, crew in New York. Bob Serikas, Rocky, John Simon. We'll see you next time at a freely elected Solartopia with paper ballots.
Thank you very much.
Solartopia. Solartopia.